Religion on the Line. 2 hours of exploration into the world of spirituality, faith, hope, love, or the hot buttons of today. Talk about it now. 576-7710. And now, Religion on the Line.
Good morning. You've got Religion on the Line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and also 1440 AM at KMAJ. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda.
Well, here are some topics, and just I'm taking a point of personal privilege. Is that okay? Just well, too bad. Want to do it anyway. Want to give a shout out to dear friends Jeff and Diane Blum. Diane Luton Blum is one of the best spiritual directors I think in the nation. One of the keenest and most I want to say this the right way. Severely honed. Acutely honed, meaning, you know, deepened beyond what most spiritual directors get the privilege of becoming. And she's done classes here in Kansas City, Church of the Resurrection, all across the country. She led workshops, etc., and is hanging out in Nashville, Tennessee, where she and her family have lived for a long time. Along with her husband, Jeff, one of my dearest friends from seminary and possibly the funniest guy probably I've ever known, but beyond just the humor, a great, great justice advocate in the area of doing battle against capital punishment and working for justice in the criminal justice system. And they're in town and just want to give them a shout out. Another thing is that
visiting or working or
visiting family in the area. Yeah. Yeah. And so, had the great grace of, sharing breakfast with them yesterday. And, I don't think I've ever done that, with some visiting buddies in town, but absolutely precious human beings and, great, great, great religious figures in their own right.
Jeff is the justice advocate.
They're both ordained clergy. One a Methodist, Diane's a Methodist, and Jeff's a Disciples of Christ. Okay. And we go way back, a long time.
Last week, the Pope talked about how the Pope is calling for the catechism to come out with a stronger teaching against the death penalty.
Mm.
So, yeah.
It'd be interesting how the American Catholic Church takes that up.
Yeah.
Bob, you mentioned was it Jennifer, did you say?
No, Diane.
Diane.
Oh, Jeff.
Okay. Diane. I'm thinking of some friends I know in Kansas City. She's a Jennifer. That said, that she's a spiritual director. Now, I'm willing to believe that there are some folks who have no idea what that means.
Yeah. You know, it sounds real Catholic, and that's actually the origins are there. There's more Catholic spiritual directors probably. Every monastery will have an office of spiritual direction in it, and every religious, as it's called, a monk, a nun, that is part of an order, will receive spiritual direction, and actually even diocesan priests will receive the same. But it is also practiced among Protestants. I don't know about Jewish spiritual direction, but I would imagine that in some places...
You would find a teacher if you thought... we don't have an official
tradition of that. But more and more, I would advocate younger clergy not to have a therapist, for sure. Every clergy needs a therapist because, I mean, the stuff that we deal with, there's so much toxicity in it and so much pressure that we just need a therapist. Period, to handle it, and so if you're going to be a good pastor, a good clergy, a good rabbi, a good imam, I think you ought to have a therapist of some kind, but also increasingly spiritual director as well.
Right.
So, and there are institutes and communities of accountability, Michael. I don't know if you were even wondering about that, but there are institutes that give accreditation and certification in spiritual direction. And if you are seeking a spiritual director, you ought to ask about that.
Yeah.
Do they have their certification through the Shalem Institute, or whatever? Where did they get their authority to even put up a shingle to do that?
And these are folks who will embrace a way for us to grow and even sometimes challenge us to grow.
Yeah.
Sort of like a life coach on your journey to becoming a saint. So, and I should mention, we're really blessed in the Archdiocese to have the Apostles of the Interior Life, to have that's their whole charism is to...
These are just not people that stay inside and don't go outside, right?
No. Yeah, okay. No. The Apostles of the Interior Life, meaning they help people develop their interior life, their spiritual life. And they have a wonderful program called the Spiritual Mentorship Program, which equips lay Catholics to give spiritual direction to other Catholics. So they're trying to create a large sort of spiritual workforce that, because that's one of the biggest challenges. You know, as soon as you mentioned Diane Blum and what a great spiritual director, I wondered, oh boy, you know, is that one of those, you know, because when you find a good spiritual director, you're kind of torn because you want other people to know about it, but also you don't want that person to be too busy for you. So
no.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of those
group.
It's a religious order that was founded 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. So we're one of the few kind of world headquarters that they have right now. But yeah. Mm-hmm.
50 years ago, now I understand why I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah.
I want to also put another word out to Lutherans. I think that we can get some Lutherans to call in to tell us where, you know, Martin Luther's, the 500th anniversary of the 95 Theses is being celebrated or observed. Where is Bach going to be played and Luther going to be quoted? In the coming 2 or 3 weeks. Give us a call at 576-7710. Another personal privilege point here, I just want to give a shout-out to a person who used to be in the area and is like several clergy throughout the metropolitan area that has received a Lilly Endowment Sabbatical Renewal Grant, and that is our friend Melissa St. Clair up in Fort Collins. Received one of these grants and will be going on.
Good,
I think next summer or next year we'll be implementing that grant. It is a very, you know, it's a nice kudo, but more than that, the clergy and the congregation get the grant, and so the congregation gets to renew itself as the clergy renews herself or himself, which brings this point up. How about sabbaticals for everybody? Wouldn't that be a nice thing? What if you had a sabbatical grant for nurses or teachers, medical professionals, EMTs, cops, firefighters? What if we had some kind of way by which you could get away to reflect upon, think about, experience anew your calling, your profession, whatever you're doing? So
The Lilly Endowment is one of the rare foundations of very great size. It does a lot of work in the world of religion. Many more think that that's a too challenging an area to engage in, but Lilly has never found that an issue to get in the way. Are these grants that clergy would apply for? That clergy
they apply for?
Apply for,
yeah, they apply for, and I can almost tell you when the deadlines are. I think it's either April, the end of April is when those, and by the way, you can just go on Lilly Endowment and find it on the net, and there's some tab to click on by which you can get all the information you need. Mm-hmm. It's all available online. And
I'm still waiting for the MacArthur Foundation to get
involved. Yeah, and that one you can't apply for. That's just, you're tapped for. But one day, Michael, one day.
No, I don't think so.
The Lilly Endowment is an application process, and it's very old school. It has to be in hard copy. You don't do it online. You have to send it in hard copy-wise. So there's that, and then they are reviewed and read. There's a complicated algorithm of reviewers that reviews all these things, and decisions are made, and then announcements are made in October and November. Mm-hmm. So,
it was an interesting idea about the notion of sabbatical for varieties of callings, because you've had it, I've had it, and I'm sure we're advocates for the whole notion that it is invigorating of the spirit and adding to the tool chest ways of being that much more effective, not only because of the rest and the stepping back, but because of how one would use that rest. A normative sabbatical is not just simply I'm off.
Yeah. It doesn't mean just a big vacation in Cancun. But although it can entail rest and recreation, for sure. So, and those, I've had the privilege of experiencing two sabbaticals at community. Most clergy in Protestant circles have it written into their covenant or contract that after either 3 or 5 or 7, depending upon the agreement, you get a sabbatical of so many months. And it's parallel. Where is this seen more regularly? In the academic world. In academic world, you'll get a sabbatical for a year where you're paid while you're still not teaching, but you're also usually understood to be going to produce something out of that sabbatical. And these are different.
The academic world, they tend to be 6 months if you're going to get paid.
Yeah.
And then you may take longer, but you won't get full compensation.
Full compensation. So, at any rate, 576.
Anybody out there who's had one, call in and let us know how you worked it.
How it worked for you. Yeah. Here we go. We'll be right back after these messages.
FM 103.7 and AM 710. Stimulating talk. KCMO.
Geekscape with Jonathan London.
The reason I reached out to Tanuj was he's got 2 movies out this month with a diverse cast.
That's right.
I was like, got to get you on the show now. Because what you told me that day a few years ago in front of the Geekscape booth at Comic-Con was that you secretly had been listening to Geekscape.
I had a lot of nights where, you know, I couldn't sleep for whatever reason, dreaming of the next project.
This will cure it.
Geekscape with Jonathan London at Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
At our home, winter nights are complicated. Either I end up freezing.
Or I'm sweating.
Hi, I'm Missy Tannen.
And I'm Scott Tannen, founders of Boll & Branch, the world's most comfortable sheets.
And now, we've created the world's first luxury flannel bedding, available for a limited time at BollAndBranch.com. Try them risk-free for 30 nights.
Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and Branch.com, promo code SLEEP.
Sometimes, don't you just feel like saying, skip the baloney? Just give me the straight talk. Well, this is Airman for Midwest Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing, so here you go. Lennox has announced up to $1,600 in rebates on qualifying home comfort systems. $1,600 is for a top-dollar system with many excellent high-tech options. But for most purchasers, it's closer to $1,200, and that is the straight talk. 18-month, no-interest, no-payment financing is also available, but here's what you need to remember. Bill Lambert co-founded Midwest Heating in 1962 with a simple premise. Give the public quality service and straight talk. Today, almost 6 decades later, the Lambert family knows straight talk and integrity never go out of style. When we install your system, it'll be right the first time with the highest possible savings to you. Count on it. Trust your air to the best. Midwest. Midwest Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. 943-8400 or MidwestHeating.com.
Here at Community America Credit Union, we've been spending a lot of time with the Kansas City Chiefs.
I guess you could say it's like we're just one of the guys!
Ugh, Community America. We KC. Fan up with Chiefs checking from Community America Credit Union. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Tune in to 101 The Fox every game day for special pregame coverage of your Kansas City Chiefs this football season, including coaches' interviews, injury reports, and more. Spend your game days with us over at the Chiefs Radio Network.
If you're a baby boomer, we've designed a retirement show specifically for you. The Retirement Income Doctor, Mark Falter. Mark Falter is known as one of the top retirement minds in the country, and we've got him every Sunday morning at 9 and afternoon at 2.
At Neil Harris Service Experts, save up to $3,225 on a new home comfort system. For expert service guaranteed, call 866-EXPERTS or visit neilharrisserviceexperts.com.
Call 866-EXPERTS.
See website for license details.
Despite what you've heard, the U.S. is still a manufacturing giant.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
You might have heard that American manufacturing is dying and that we don't produce much anymore. It's even been said that the U.S. is undergoing deindustrialization. If the death of American manufacturing has you worried, I have good news for you. It's a myth. U.S. manufacturing output has never been higher. The gross output of manufacturing industries is double that of any other sector and is where the vast majority of research and development is done. And manufacturing is highly connected to the rest of the economy, so it's indirectly responsible for a great deal of what goes on in other sectors, such as construction, transportation, utilities, and business services. While it's true that direct employment in manufacturing is much lower than it was decades ago, manufacturing remains a backbone of the U.S. economy.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
Stimulating talk for Kansas City.
Thank you very much for allowing average Americans to voice their opinion. Thank you for allowing me to speak on this.
KCMO Talk Radio.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line here at KCMO Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and also 1440 AM KMAJ. We are glad that you've joined in and that we can join you in a conversation about religion, spirituality, belief, ethics, and all the rest. Anyway, I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple Ben Ehud.
One thing that I've been holding on the back on a back burner, and we'll just let it go cold after this because it doesn't deserve too much attention, but one final topic I'd just like to raise up. Could not believe it. Was very glad that it didn't get much play, and I'm sorry to give it any more play, except that it brings up such stupid theology. And that was Pat Robertson's.
Oh, yeah.
Declaration that God basically perpetrated or allowed the Las Vegas shooting because of people disrespecting President Trump.
Well, now at least we have a motive.
just unbelievable, colossal stupidity. And I would say also just blasphemy. It gives God a horrible name, gives anybody with reverend in front of their name bad association with this guy, and he ought to be ashamed of himself.
Gee, I'm so glad I lived so far without knowing that until this moment.
I apologize, Michael.
No,
spoiled it. So
when did he issue this notion?
Pretty much a few days after it happened, and I don't know how it came across, came into my attention. I didn't go searching for this. My goodness. By the way,
you're a regular listener.
I will tell you, I was telling Bill that my nephews and I have a little hashtag thing that we text back and forth. It's hashtag YJCMTSU. You just can't make this stuff up, you know. And so I have a cute little thing between one of my nephews and myself and another one where they'll send me stuff and put that hashtag on it. Mm. YJCMTSU, you just can't make this stuff up. And just astonishing.
You know, I immediately thought it was astonishing. One of those Jesus Christ things.
Oh, yeah. What would Jesus do? Yeah. No, I just, it's just stupid. I'm just willful stupidity. This isn't just willful ignorance. This is willful stupidity.
Okay, I'm going to give you a curveball on it. It's the absolute notion that we somehow know there is a reason and a cause that ultimately goes to the source of all in every case, and I
know it. Yeah.
Quality, know it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the gnarly, we human
Please
beings.
Send me $20 so that I can keep doing it.
Well, yeah. I guess too. The question I have, because I just looked at the story, he was also talking about disrespect for our nation, our president, our flag. Well, why would God do that at a country music concert? I mean,
well, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, even on the face of it, I mean, country music has a reputation for having a lot of patriotism and a lot of love of country and nation. So
there were people dancing there, Bill. I have no doubt.
Yeah.
It'll lead to sex for sure.
Yeah. So,
or the sex will lead to dancing together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just unbelievable.
Boy, that, what I'm talking about, it's close to absolutely incredible.
Yeah. It just insanity. You know, just, and why any of, wouldn't some of his followers say, Pat, shut up? Or, you know, you need help. You need medication.
Yeah. Do you have any idea? Does he still have
a powerful
following?
I don't know about a following, but, you know, I don't think so. I don't think the following is that big. You know, when you have books coming out like PTL, The Rise and Fall of Jim and Tammy Faker, Tammy Faye Baker's Evangelical Empire, written by John Wigger, and, you know, other books like this. When you hear Jerry Falwell Jr. making such outlandish claims about what true patriotism and true Christianity is, you know, I think there's a decline in that evangelical world. There's a very interesting survey that's just come out about the nuns or the people who are shifting their religious affiliations. This is very interesting. In age groups 18 through 29, 38% are unaffiliated.
Call themselves nuns.
Nuns.
Well, they don't. That's what demographers.
Demographers, or they say they're not affiliated.
I understand, but they don't have an affiliation.
Right. So they call.
Any refinement of that on the old bromide of I'm spiritual but not religious.
Yeah, you know, not in this survey. But you know, I'm certain that there would be. Something like that. I think it's the Pew Religious Research Institute or something like that.
Yeah, and what's disturbing is many of these nuns are former Catholics.
Mm.
I mean, the data showing us that for every child that gets confirmed in a Catholic church, there's a 50% chance that 10 years from that date, they will no longer be practicing the faith. So it's an area of concern for the Catholic Church of how do we maintain that relationship?
You know, this brings up something, Michael, you and I have talked about over the years, decades and decades now, about how do we promulgate the faith and what is our understanding of, is it true? I used to think it was by threat, and I don't like theology or religion by threat, but that religion is always one generation away from extinction.
Yeah.
You know, meaning if you don't pass it on to children, if you don't, and many religions are founded on basically passing on the faith through the family. And it's just not mandated. It's just assumed that you will do that or your faith is being truncated and that you want to promulgate it. You want it to be shared into the future. So
yeah, in the Catholic Church, that's one of the, when you're discerning marriage, that's one of the if you want to marry a non-Catholic, the understanding is that you will agree to raise the children Catholic. I mean, I faced that situation. When I met my wife, she was a practicing Protestant. She was a Presbyterian, and that was one of the things we kind of had to work out. I mean, thankfully, she was very agreeable to that. So, but yeah, you're right.
To your point, Michael, though, about the religious but or spiritual but not religious, this says religiously unaffiliated. How many people in the category 70 to 79, the 12% who say they are religiously unaffiliated, might pull that caveat and say, I really do believe in God. I am affiliated with a supreme being, just not with an institution. And to which I want to say in moments of real, real candor, well, I guess you're just not real serious about this at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, we got a caller. We're going to get to you in just a minute after these messages.
If you're a baby boomer, we've designed a retirement show specifically for you. The Retirement Income Doctor, Mark Falter. Mark Falter is known as one of the top retirement minds in the country, and we've got him every Sunday morning at 9 and afternoon at 2.
On your smartphone, tablet, or mobile device with the KCMO Talk Radio app, a free download in the iTunes or Google Play Stores.
I like your stories and your reporting.
Stimulating talk for Kansas City. KCMO.
You have the truth on your side.
M.O.
And I love you.
local, regional news and national news at the top and bottom of the hour on Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO.
Chris Plant.
The news media is utterly corrupt. I used to be at CNN. Trust me, they have no interest in hiring me back. It's Chris Plant, weekdays 11 to 1 on Kansas City's KCMO.
CBS News Updates, Hurricane Relief, American Style.
Oh, say does that star
from deep in the heart of Texas, an emotional appeal for relief for victims of recent hurricanes, a host of country musicians at College Station, and then there were the presidents.
There is still work to be done in Texas and in Florida, and our friends in Puerto Rico and the American Virgin Islands have only begun to dig their way out of what could be still a calamitous disaster.
Former presidents Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush, and his son, George W.
I, too, am here to urge you to give to this fine fund, and I want to thank all the volunteers, but I'm here for another reason. I speak for the folks right here when I say we really admire and love George H.W. Bush.
$31 million raised. CBS News Update. I'm Jim Taylor.
KCTV Storm Track 5 forecast.
Winds have calmed down. We've got some cooler air in the area, and a lot of the wet weather that we saw late last night has moved on out. That means skies will continue to clear, and it's going to be a cooler day with highs only reaching the upper 60s. I'm KCTV 5 meteorologist Ronald Williams.
APW Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling is where you'll find the Dixie difference. Chill is in the air, and it's time to schedule your furnace safety and clean check. A little tune-up now will keep you warm all winter long. APW technicians are knowledgeable, courteous, and quick. Experience the Dixie difference. Give us a call, APW Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, 913-825-6600, or on the web at thedixiedifference.com, and listen to APW Help for Homes
at the new time, Saturdays at 1 p.m.
for more ways to keep your home comfortable.
Hi, I'm Jay Ashcroft. Here at the Secretary of State's office, we take the integrity of our elections seriously. Last November, Missourians agreed and passed Constitutional Amendment 6. Missouri's new photo ID law is now in effect. Have questions about the new voter ID law or need to register to vote? We're here to help. Visit showittovote.com or call 866-868-3245. Remember, if you're registered to vote, you can vote.
Sponsored by the Missouri Secretary of State's office.
Do you ever get tired of all the money in politics? I know I do.
This is the Free Market Minute with Dr. Howard Wall.
One of the reasons for all the money flowing into politics is cronyism. That is, because government has become increasingly intrusive into business decisions, market competition is being replaced with political competition. Cronyism means that political spending helps guide which regulations are put into place, which companies are allowed to participate, what wages must be paid, and ultimately, how much profit is to be made. Cronyism has become such an important profit source that investments in political activity and regulation now account for almost as much profit as does investment in physical capital. So if you want to get business out of politics, a good start would be to get politics out of business.
To learn more, go to newsdoneright.com. The Free Market Minute is a service of the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University.
On your smartphone, tablet, or mobile device with the KCMO Talk Radio app, a free download in the iTunes or Google Play stores.
I like your stories and your reporting.
Stimulating talk for Kansas City. KC.
You have the truth on your side.
M-O.
And I love you.
Local, regional news and national news at the top and bottom of the hour on Kansas City's most stimulating talk, KCMO. This is KCMO, Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
Listen to this.
Kansas City's most stimulating talk is on FM 103.7 and AM 710.
We listen all day.
I like being informed.
Now what we say really makes a difference.
Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. You've got religion on the line. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zetti, Rabbi Emeritus.
Sorry, I'm going too fast.
I am. You know, it must be that I miss Bob's from last week and his cues and the challenge we had with the telephone.
Oh, yeah, that was a rough week. It's good to have you back.
All right. No problem.
I'm still Rabbi Michael Zedek, and I'm still Rabbi Emeritus Temple B'nai Yehuda, last I looked.
All right. Well, before we get to our caller, Brad, we've got this is a very interesting book. This is a children's book called Who Counts? 100 Sheep, 10 Coins, and 2 Sons. Authored by Amy Jo Levine and Sandy Eisenberg Sasso. Uh-huh. Illustrated by Margot Megank. The interesting thing about this is Amy Jo Levine is a Jewish scholar at Vanderbilt Divinity School, and Rabbi Sandy Eisenberg Sasso is a, I think,
still in Indianapolis?
I think it's still in Indianapolis, a Reconstructionist.
Right.
Rabbi, and they've authored this book looking at basically Christian parables, but also trying to drive home the point of, at least one of the points of the parables, that everybody does count. And very interesting. Who counts? 100 sheep, 10 coins, and 2 sons. Very interestingly, inclusively illustrated. So, but anyway, we're going to go to Brad. Brad, you've got religion on the line.
Yeah, you guys, your point of people falling away from their faith, well, first of all, I don't think that's such a bad thing, depending on how you look at it. For one thing, the people that are remaining are there because they're serious about it, number one. Number two, okay, let's say that you're raised in a Methodist church, but now you don't want nothing to do with the Methodist church. Well, that doesn't mean you're not still a believer. And, you know, and also a third thing is there's such a large growth in what somebody would call the pseudo-church, which would be like Fellowship of Christian Athletes, the Navigators. My son's Kansas City Christian School has like 90 different churches involved in it. So there are lots of things that you don't have to be associated with one church. It could be that you're in one town and say, oh, gee, I like that Catholic church. You move to another town, you don't like the Catholic churches there, so you might try a different one. Yeah. I mean, doesn't mean you're not religious.
I'll just say for me, Brad, what I would say is the word associated is very important, that you do associate, that you do, you're part of a society, however big or small, and that you participate in community. And that if you're not, if you're an isolate, if you just want to practice an individualized form of faith, you're to be pitied, actually. And
really?
And that such individualism is inferior to a faith that's informed by a community.
Yeah, I would echo that. You know, I heard the Archbishop say once, you know, Christianity really is a team sport. It's meant to be lived out in community, and just the sort of go at your own spirituality. The danger of that is rather than realizing how you are created in the image of God, the danger when you go at yourself is that you wind up creating God in the image you'd like Him to be, and you close yourself off to the accountability and the formation that being in a religious community calls you to. Rabbi, I don't know what your thoughts are.
Brad, I think you made some very interesting points, not all of which in my hearing reflect on the challenge of the nuns or the increasing lack of affiliation, because part of your commentary was the more fluid nature of affiliation, and I think all of us recognize that's part of the American marketplace, smorgasbord, cafeteria line.
Yeah.
People frequently start life in one particular community, and I'll use the community of faith, and find themselves more comfortable, attracted to, in another. That's not the same thing as nuns. I do agree with you, however, your first point, I think, is very powerful, namely, that if those who remain in particular communities, what keeps them there is a valuable thing to know for making communities more attractive and or more effective with those who are part of them. In the Jewish world, we call it inreach as opposed to a term outreach. That is to say, I think people come to places where they experience energy and care for one another, and are easily alienated from the business aspects, and you're just the number piece of any institution, including religious institutions.
Well, I feel like, you know, I do agree with the point that you should be a part of a church. I mean, you shouldn't just try to sit at home, because then you're not accountable to anyone, and I don't think you're really going to grow too much in your faith.
Yeah, that's a
but
point
But I still think
making.
That a person can, like, for instance, you can find, you don't have to stay with one church. I've been around lots of Catholics before that maybe they just don't feel comfortable in the Catholic Church. It doesn't mean that they don't still respect it, but they just didn't feel like that was where God was, where they felt. And if my kids grow up and if they find a Catholic Church meets their spiritual needs, I'm not going to have any problem with that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think a person necessarily has. I've probably been involved at least 12 different churches and or ministries since I left my parents when I was 18. I'm in my 50s now. And I think if a person is spiritually fed, and also one thing you guys have not really mentioned it in, well, your group here, Religion Online, is sort of an example where it's a group of religions that people come together for a common purpose, but you don't have. I mean, this is not the Catholic Hour. This is not the Jewish Hour. This is a bunch of guys coming together.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't that? I mean, that's what I feel like some group like Fellowship
of
Christian Athletes would be.
One of the challenges of media is that they often serve as substitute alternative communities and maybe more intimate communities, which is not my notion, but than what the three of us think are really called for, namely a face-to-face encounter with the other and with the holy other.
Yeah, you know, you're right that religious organizations like the Fellowship of Christian Athletes might be, on occasion, somebody's church. That may be where they really experience deep fellowship, a great sense of community and purpose. One of the things that we haven't talked about is you need a community where not only you're fed, but you can do some feeding.
Yeah.
Meaning you can contribute, you can serve, which is a facet of any religion worthy of the name. And many times para-religious organizations provide that avenue of service, and that's a great thing.
So I got turned around through the Navigators back in college.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't. That's what I feel. I guess that's kind of what got me, is that I don't have to stay in my parents' church. I can learn from them, and there's good people usually in all these groups. But I don't
think I have to stick with one.
I
had a lot of visibility for a while, but that the fact that they don't have visibility doesn't mean they're not around. That's why I'm asking.
I'm not sure you heard Michael's question about the Navigators. Are they still around, Brad? Are they still?
I don't
know.
I don't think so. I think they kind of fell apart years ago. But they were a very strong group at one time.
Right.
But you know, sometimes church ministries come and go.
Thank
you for your time, gentlemen.
Important to know.
All right.
Lots of things have life cycles.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad. We're very grateful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. And we've got another call here, but we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to get right back to these calls here at 576-7710, Religion on the Line.
All right. Well, I guess we're waiting. That number to call is 576-7710, 576-7710.
There we go.
Over the last few months, politics and a bipolar economic picture have been driving markets. Both of these stories, though, have taken the investor's eye off the ball. My name is Chris Butler with Butler Lands and Wagler and host of the radio show Capitalist Pigs. Investors should be looking at the extreme valuations we're seeing in both stocks and bonds. That means stocks and bonds both are relatively expensive. Why should this be a concern? Because markets rarely do well from periods of high valuations over the ensuing 10 years. But this is a great time to evaluate the risk you're taking with your investments. Do you have too much in stocks or too much in bonds? Now, what's your plan if either of these two markets fall or go nowhere for a lengthy period of time? Maybe we can help. Download our free report at investontrack.com and see how we use extreme diversification and other risk reduction tools to help navigate these markets in our all-weather growth portfolio. Again, go to investontrack.com and download our free report.
Suburban Lawn and Garden, growing with you.
The Pumpkin Patch Festival at Suburban Lawn and Garden has been a family tradition in Kansas City for 20 years. It started with one simple idea. Extra fun had no extra charge. This weekend at Suburban South Kansas City location, grab a bag of popcorn and take a hayride to the Pumpkin Patch. Or take your ride to the patch in a fire truck or even a Pinsgauer troop carrier. The popcorn and the rides and the face painting are all free. At the patch, your kids will have fun choosing from hundreds of fresh pumpkins, and you'll know that those pumpkins are priced low. Complete your fall decorating with colorful gourds and corn stalks. Then hop on a golf cart and shop Suburban's huge selection of trees, shrubs, and hardy mums, most locally grown, and many at special sale prices this fall. Enjoy the season and save on family fun every weekend in October at Suburban's Big Nursery and Pumpkin Patch, 135th and Warnham.
Suburban Lawn and Garden, growing with you.
Hey, this is Mark Comfort, owner of Cruise Holidays of Kansas City, inviting you to our 25th annual Vacation Extravaganza Seminar and Sale, Saturday, October 28th, from 9 until 3 at our Cruise Holidays office, Interstate 29 72nd Street. It is the single best day to come learn and to come save. If you're ready to make a vacation decision, we will have 15 vacation representatives there from the Ocean Cruise Lines, the River Cruise Lines, and the all-inclusive land-based resorts, including a tour operator, Pleasant Holidays, that actually represents thousands of properties. Again, no better way to learn, no better way to save. Saturday, October 28th from 9 until 3. RSVP, please, at 816-505-1500. That's 505-1500.
At our home, winter nights are complicated. Either I end up freezing.
Or I'm sweating.
Hi, I'm Missy Tannen.
And I'm Scott Tannen, founders of Boll & Branch, the world's most comfortable sheets.
And now, we've created the world's first luxury flannel bedding, available for a limited time at BollAndBranch.com. Try them risk-free for 30 nights.
Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP, spelled B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
Geekscape with Jonathan London.
The reason I reached out to Tanuj was he's got two movies out this month with a diverse cast.
That's right.
I was like, got to get you on the show now. Because what you told me that day a few years ago in front of the Geekscape booth at Comic-Con was that you secretly had been listening to Geekscape.
I had a lot of nights where, you know, I couldn't sleep for whatever reason, dreaming of the next project.
And this will cure it.
Geekscape with Jonathan London at Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hi, I'm Evan Hanning, host of First Light. We start every day with a close-up look at the morning's top stories. Meteorologist Dean DeVore has the nation's weather. It's Robert Workman for sports. Chuck Rich recommends TV and movies and watches some so you don't have to. Then we take your calls on the issues that push your hot button or make you happy. Because First Light always likes to hear from you and that you listen to First Light.
First Light, weekday mornings at 4 a.m. Kansas City's KCMO. KCMO. If we seem a little harsh,
I'm not making excuses.
We're just telling you like it is. Kansas City's KCMO.
Good morning. Good morning. You've got Religion on the line here at KCMO Talk Radio, 710 AM, 103.7 FM, and also 1440 AM KMAJ. Welcome, and thank you for allowing us to be part of your Sunday morning, as here in the heart of the country, sunrise is brimming over the horizon. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl with the Archdiocese of Kansas City, Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus, Temple B'nai Yehuda. Do you see how quick I was to be on cue?
Yeah. Well, we're back in the groove. All right. And we we are going to go to our next caller, who is Madeline. Good morning, Madeline.
Good morning, God Squad. And welcome back into my home, Reverend Hill. I have missed you, but we've had some good speakers. And but I think about you and prayed for safe travel and all.
Thank you.
And, you know, Rabbi, you didn't tell us, maybe you don't want to or can't, but I sure, what is this baby's name that weighed 12 pounds?
If I remember it, let's see. What? Okay, I got it. It's the official name is Raines, R-A-I-N-E-S, Sidney Viola. And Raines she's the first Raines I've ever met, other than it's a family name on grandmother's side, great-grandmother's side, who that was her maiden name, and she was a much-loved woman, and I think Betsy and Jeremy, the parents, wanted to acknowledge that in a unique way. So presumably he'll be called Ray often, but if he wants to be Raines, he's going to be Raines. That's his official name.
So Raines, what's the whole name again?
Raines Sidney.
Yep.
His last name is Viola.
Mazel tov. And I do have something received in the mail many years ago from Temple Emmanuel, mm-hmm. and their stationery said something that's now on my refrigerator with the Respect for Life people names, and and I think it's wonderful, and it explains to me what a affiliation with a church should be, and it's a place to learn, a place to pray, and a place to belong. And I don't know, it's something like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to me, because that's what
there's
it means.
The version of Holy Trinity.
Right, right. And how important can that be? You know, I always wonder and hope and pray that people who are looking for something will come to Rabbi, Reverend Hill, and our dear friend from Kansas Diocese, because you can't go wrong either way. Mm. That's my feeling, and I believe that with all my heart.
You're very generous.
You have a blessed week. Take care. I turned 89 years old this month.
Hey, congratulations, Madeline.
Oh, thank you. I am very blessed and grateful. I can't complain about anything unless you have 2 hours and a bottle of wine.
Right.
Michael, what was your question again?
I said, you can complain, but what's the point?
Yeah. No, I don't. Like I said, I could, but and the only way I would is if you had about 2 hours and a visit and a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And I would enjoy that. You take care. God
all
bless
right.
you all. And
all right.
Please give those ladies you live with a hug for me.
Thank you, Madeline. Thank you very much. Madeline is kind of the den mother of religion on the line, the house mother, if you will, if we were a fraternity. So always a blessing to...
How about spiritual advisor?
She's our spiritual director. There we go. Spiritual advisor. Yeah.
Mother superior.
Michael, we are coming up in the Christian...
Rapidly to a conclusion.
In the Christian world on... something that maybe we delve into a little bit more next week.
Yeah.
Meaning All Hallows' Eve in the Christian world is a big deal. In American culture, mm-hmm. it's celebrated with almost as much candy as Valentine's Day, but not quite. Mm-hmm. And it's a day for costumes. There's something about human beings that love to dress up and play like people that they are not. Which we do, by the way, all the time, only in different, forms. But let's talk about that. But I'm thinking of Martin Marty's title of his book called October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther and the Day That Changed the World. That's very interesting. So next week will be, and by the way, changed it for good and ill. It was not all good that the change ushered in.
Shall we wear costumes next week for the show?
Sure.
Yeah, our studio audience will love it.
Yeah.
So, I think maybe I'll just wear my Chiefs hat, and I'll come as a fan. How about that?
Well, you are a fan, I suspect, but I don't know whether that will be viewed as a concession to the Chiefs. Because, Bill, I don't know if you're totally aware, but there was a time in the history of the show when we ran opposite the Chiefs broadcast.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and they implored implored.
They begged us.
Station to move us because it was just too much
competition. Yeah, yeah, too much competition, and we're just killing them, killing their ad sales. Yeah, yeah. And if you believe that, then we would like to talk to you.
I've got a historic church landmark that I'd like to tell you.
Yes, that's right.
So 576-7710 is the number to call, but you get a call quick. We're coming to the last little bit of the program.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we've avoided talking about today is the really sad moment where the sacrifice death of the servicemen has become a political.
Oh, yeah. Goal. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a sad number, an additional footnote to a time of desperate fighting and despair and ugliness in our national life, which wouldn't it be wonderful if a whole bunch of adults stepped forward and said enough.
And said, I won't promote speech or rhetoric or the promulgation of a selfish attitude that divides people. I mean, you know, let's be generous, and let's have also a little tone and say some humility, the expression of some humility by our leaders and saying, you know, I made a mistake here, or we made a mistake there, or, I mean, can we not do that? That's what civil discourse is normally about. That's what you do around at least the table that I gather for and break bread. That's the only way to live a good and just life is to be able to say, I'm sorry. And to say, I didn't do it perfect. And instead of continuously be divisively on the defensive. So we'll have to see how that bodes for next week.
So in the words of Pope Francis, to be human is to be vulnerable. And allowing for vulnerability in the public square and acknowledging our mutually shared humanity. And it seems like, yeah, we're Rabbi, you're right, and Bob, you're right to just point out that maybe in our civil discord, our political discord, we seem to be losing that sense of humility and acknowledging humanity. And I'd like to think religion can be that place where we bring that back into the discussion.
I know that in my life it has been that way. In the communities of faith that I've led, it's been that way. And in congregation after congregation that I know about, it's been that way. And
we can't. Who wants to live in a world without forgiveness?
Yeah.
And where are we going to learn forgiveness if not in our churches?
All right. Here we are at the end of our little ball of twine. I'm Reverend Robert Lee Hill, Minister Emeritus of Community Christian Church, along with
Bill Scholl, Social Justice Consultant for the Archdiocese of Kansas City and Kansas, along with
Rabbi Michael Zedek, Rabbi Emeritus Temple Bnei Yehuda, and with humility, we're grateful that we can say together,
God bless.
If you're a baby boomer, we've designed a retirement show specifically for you. The Retirement Income Doctor, Mark Falter. Mark Falter is known as one of the top retirement minds in the country, and we've got him every Sunday morning at 9 and afternoon at 2.
Open enrollment for Medicare is October 15th through December 7th. And if you want to look at all your options, let one of our licensed, certified Medicare agents help you. Hello, this is Kerry Hall with Benefits by Design. And we'd be happy to help you find the right Medicare choice and the right plan to fit your needs and your budget. You can reach us by calling 913-385-2224. That's 913-385-2224 to look at all your Medicare Advantage options.
FM 103.7 and AM 710. Kansas City's most stimulating talk.
America is ours. We the people. We're the government. Shame on you. It'll be really interesting to see what happens.
Kansas City's KCMO. KCMO AM 710 Kansas City.
101.1 FM KCFX HD2 Harrisonville.
FM 103.7 K279 BI.